Let's get started. You guys ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. So, a friend of mine, he lives in Jerusalem, in Israel, right? And this past week, for the past couple days, when I've been scrolling through Facebook, I've been seeing some of the posts that he's posting, some pictures that he's posting. And it's actually very, like, fascinating. And these pictures are people gathering palm trees. And people gathering all these different kinds of leaves. And these pictures of people all over Israel, they're building these thing called booths. They're building, it looks like cubes, right? Like this size right here probably. And all these houses, they're building these things. And everyone's smiling. It looks like a joyous celebration or whatnot. And I'm like, what's going on, right? Like, it looks like a party, right? And at this time right now, every year, at this time, there, Jerusalem right now, that is where the party's at right now, all right? Jerusalem is where we want to be right now, okay? Except here, at this service, all right? This is where you want to be, all right? But in Jerusalem, they do this festival, okay? And this festival is called the Feast of Tabernacles. Can you guys say that with me? Feast of Tabernacles, right? And right now, there's so many people there right now because every year, there's so many people all across the world, namely Jews, they take a pilgrimage to their home country, to Israel, to celebrate this once a year, right? And there's actually four names that are very synonymous with the Feast of Tabernacles, and I want you to know this, okay? So, Feast of Tabernacles, and every time I say another one, I want you guys to repeat after me, okay? So you guys know. So, Feast of Tabernacles.
Feast of Tabernacles.
Okay. The Feast of Booths.
Feast of Booths.
Feast of the Ingathering.
Feast of the Ingathering.
And then my favorite, Sukkot.
Sukkot.
Right? These all four are the same thing. All right? You guys got it, right? So, what's the first one?
Feast of Tabernacles.
What's the second one?
Feast of Booths.
What's the third one?
Feast of Ingathering.
And the last one?
Sukkot.
Sukkot. Good. That's good. So this feast, it's for 8 days. Okay? It's for 8 days. And it's very interesting that I'm preaching this sermon today because the Feast of Booths, it actually begins at sundown tonight for 8 days. Okay? Sundown tonight for 8 days. And, sundown tonight for the people in Israel because the time difference, right? For us, it's tomorrow, right? Well, when we'll be sleeping, okay? That's when it starts, and it's for 8 days, okay? And what is this festival all about, the Feast of Tabernacles? And actually, it's actually told by God to his people a long time ago in Leviticus 23. That's not the passage for today. You don't got to go there, but please jot it down so you can study. Leviticus 23, and God commands them to set up these booths, set up these tents, these square tents, and then they are to live in them. Why? It's because this. In the story of the people of God, the Israel, when God delivered them out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of their bondage, when they crossed the Red Sea and they went into the desert, how did they live? They set up these booths. And they lived in these booths. Right? So, why do people do that today? It's because it's actually a very holy holiday. Why? They're reenacting what their forefathers went through, right? They're reenacting so they can experience just a little bit what it felt like to live in that booth when God delivered their people. You guys with me? All right, good. So in this time, this 8 days, you know what it is? Basically, it's a time of remembrance. It's a time of reflection. Remembering the faithfulness of God and remembering how supernatural God was in delivering his people. Pretty supernatural, right? The Red Sea splitting open and all this food and water, everything that's provided is pretty supernatural. And so it's a joyous celebration, a time of remembrance and reflection before moving forward. Okay, before moving forward. And one thing that, as I was studying this, that I find really interesting is this. In these 8 days of the Feast of Booths in Sukkot, it's sandwiched on the two ends by Shabbat, a Sabbath day. Okay? That means the first day and the last day is a Sabbath day. Do you guys know what Sabbath means? It means rest. Rest. I took a Sabbath and then my perspective just began to change, right? And then, you know what happened? This is what happened. Burdens became blessings. All my burdens started transforming into blessings. And then duty started transforming into delight. Burdens to blessings, duty to delight. In the place of Sabbath. And then you know what bridges all our burdens to blessing? You know what bridges that? Gratefulness, a thankfulness. And all this process, all really happens when we intentionally choose to Sabbath. And this is where I understood, God, you are good. This is why you planned it. This is why you made it a commandment. For our good. Amen? And I want to share this. Sabbath rest is not vegging out. And also, Sabbath rest is not sleeping in. Right? Physical rest is important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying like the more holy you are, the less sleep you do. Okay? And that's not what I'm saying. Right? But what I'm saying is this. Sabbath rest is not Sabbath rest if you don't reflect on God's faithfulness in your life. If you sit there, roll around in your own vomit, roll around in your own complaints and your grumblings and your situations and your circumstances, you are not doing Sabbath. There's a reason why David, King David, in his Psalms, there's a reason why after he lays out his heart and his complaints, after that, if you keep reading, he starts declaring the faithfulness of God. So what is Sabbath? It's this. The reason why we should do Sabbath every week is this, is to recalibrate our focus on God and not our problems, on God and not our circumstances. Because you know what we're naturally prone to because of the sin nature? We're naturally prone to move on without God. We're naturally prone to move on without depending on God. We depend on our carnal wisdom. We depend on what we know. But you know what Sabbath does? It's a move of humility saying, God, here I am, poor in spirit. I cannot move on in this future, in this next week, without clinging to you. And that comes from reflecting on his faithfulness in your life. And man, hasn't he been faithful? You got to seek. There's so much more he's been faithful to that we don't even understand. I don't even know how faithful he's been to me yet. And I can't wait to tap into that. You guys feel me? Amen? So Sabbath. Okay. Back to the whole Feast of Tabernacles, right? So, the Feast of Tabernacles is sandwiched by the Sabbath, like I said. But, you know, there's so many different cool rituals, amazing rituals that the people of God did in the Feast of Tabernacles. There's so many things, right? But today, because of a lack of time, I want to focus on just one. One thing that the people of God did every day, all 8 days, in the mornings of the Feast of Booths is this. They did this thing called the water libation. Everyone say, water libation. It's a drink offering. It's a drink offering, right? And stick with me here. I'm going somewhere, okay? Stick with me here. If your neighbor's falling asleep, hit him in the face. I'm just kidding. Don't do that, all right? So this is what happened every morning of the Feast of Tabernacles is this. There was a priest, right? And the priest led a procession. the priest led a parade, right? From the temple in Jerusalem down to this small body of water called the Pool of Siloam. Pool of Siloam, right? So, for example, if I were to make it more understandable for you, let's just say that I was the priest in this case, right? And I was leading the procession, right? And in this procession, right behind me, this first two rows would hold on to a trumpet, a shofar, and they would blow it, right? And then the back people, they would wave this thing. They would wave these branches, right? It's a combination of three tree branches, right? With the lemon, right? And just to make it short, I don't have time. They made these. It's called the lulav. Okay, lulav. They got these three branches, tied it together, held it in the right hand, and then a citrus, like a lemon, holds it in the left hand, and they would wave it to God, right? And this symbolized the citrus fruit symbolized their heart, right? And then the branches symbolized like their whole being, right? And they're offering themselves unto the Lord. It's like worship and praise, okay? So as the priest is going down to the Pool of Siloam, right? I have a golden pitcher. A golden pitcher. And I go to the Pool of Siloam and I dip it in and I get some water. And then I lead and go back up to the temple, and then I go through a gate. This gate is called the water gate. Okay? Water gate. I go through, and then I go to the altar, and I'm pouring that water on the altar as a drink offering to God. That's the water libation. Stick with me, all right? Stick with me. At the same time, meanwhile, you know what's going on? The back people, right? They're waving their lulav. But you know what they're doing? They're declaring scripture. They're declaring Psalm chapter 113 to 118. Okay? And this is what I'm going to explain to you. As they're saying this scripture. Question is, the pouring out of the water on the altar, why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? What does this mean? There's many reasons that people say, but I just want to share with you four reasons why they do this. You guys ready? Whew, here we go. First reason, they pour out the water to remember that God provided water in the desert. When they struck the rock with a staff and water came out, it was that. So like I said, they're saying Psalm chapter 113 to 118. Don't turn there. You can write this down. I'm going to read Psalm chapter 114, verse 7 to 8. Pay attention to this. It says this. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Check this out. Who turns the rock into a pool of water, the stone into a spring of water. So as they're saying this from Psalm, they're pouring out the water and saying, we remember your faithfulness. You supernaturally provided us water to stay alive. In remembering God's faithfulness. That's the first reason. Second reason is this. As they're pouring out the water, is remembering God's faithfulness, how he provided rain in the past year. Why? Remember one of the names of Feast of Tabernacles? I said it was a feast of ingathering. Right? Because it was during this time when the people of God, when Israel, they gathered the crops. They gathered the crops. Right? And they're saying, God, you provided the water to provide for these crops. You are Jehovah Jireh. We are remembering right now your faithfulness. Okay? That's the second reason. All right? Third reason is, now that they look back, now they're moving forward, and they're doing this. God, we still depend on you. As we move forward into the hottest, physically hottest season of this country, we need your rain. We depend on you alone. So please provide. So it's a declaration of dependence. Everyone say declaration of dependence. And the fourth reason is my favorite reason. When I read this, I was like, wow. Fourth reason is this. As they're doing this, like I said, they're reading the psalm, right? And one of the psalms they read is Psalm chapter 118, right? And you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read it. They say it in Hebrew, right? So they say, Ana Adonai Hoshiana, like we sang, Hosanna. Ana Adonai Hoshiana, Ana Adonai Hatzlishana, Baruch Haba Beshem Adonai Berach Nuchem Mi Beit Adonai. Amen? They're saying these things. Should I translate it for you? It says this. Remember, these Israelites, they're waiting for someone, all right? And it's this. I'll read it in English. Save us, we pray. O Lord. O Lord, we pray, let us thrive. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. So in Hebrew, as they're pouring out the water, they're saying, save us. Bless us. Blessed is he. He who comes in the name of the Lord. They're praying for a Messiah. They're praying for a Savior. They're thirsting and they're desiring for a Savior. You guys with me? That's good stuff. And I didn't even talk to Pastor John about leading worship today. And we started off by singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, didn't we? Hosanna. And I was like, man, God, I believe that you want this word to go out today. Man. I'm really excited. I don't know if you can tell. All right. Now, I just taught you a lot of background information. And I want you to remember all this, okay? This feast, it starts tomorrow. For 8 days. Okay? And I just gave you some context of the passage that I'm about to read, which is really the word for today, right? And it's John chapter 7. Can we all turn to John chapter 7? John chapter 7. And if you could just open your Bibles and just look up at me. Let me just share with you the immediate context of what's going on is this. Jesus, Christ, right? Jesus, he is in Galilee, which is north, and he's going down south to Judea. That is where the festival is held. That's where the temple is. That's where the festival is held in Jerusalem. So Jesus is going down there. But at this time, it's a very, very tense time. Very tense time. Why? People are trying to figure out who Jesus is. Who is this Jesus? Is he just a good man? Is he just a prophet? Is he the Messiah? Is he just crazy? Who is this Jesus? Is he a fraud? Is he Idan? A cult? Like, you know? Who is this Jesus? And actually, as Jesus is healing people and saying stuff like, if you know me, you know the Father, you know? A bunch of the Jewish leaders, they actually want to kill him. Very tense time right now. But Jesus goes into this place. And we're not going to read the whole chapter, but please do when you go home. Let's start from verse 37. I'm going to read verse 37 to 39. Okay. On the last day of the feast. Which feast? Tabernacle. on the last day, the eighth day, the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out. Pause right there. Can you look at me? On the last day of the feast, this is when Jesus knows that all this water libation ceremony has happened, right? Where the Jewish people, they are remembering the past, declaring their dependence, longing for a savior as they're reciting Psalm 118. Remember? Let's look at the scripture, verse 37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Come on, somebody. So many times I read this passage, I'm like, Jesus is living water. He satisfies me. Jesus is living water. Amen. It's true. But man, when I study the context of the Feast of Tabernacles, what's going on with the whole water ceremony and everything, the drink offering, I was like, Jesus is making a bold statement right now. People are after his life. He's making a very radical statement right now. He's basically saying, hey guys, I'm the living water. I'm the living water. Earlier he said, those who know me know the Father, right? And he's saying this, I'm the one who provided the water in the desert. I'm the provider. I'm the one who provided water in the rain. I'm the one that you should declare your dependence on. I'm the one that you're thirsting for so much. I'm the one whom you're crying out in Psalm 118, I am the one that you are thirsting for. And some people, they're like, yes, our Messiah is here. But some people, they're like, he's crazy. As we read, even in the scripture reading, right, we said that hearts would be hardened. Some would be hardened, you know. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Those who drink of him. That Greek word for river is potamos. Potamos. And another word, I love this, of river is torrent. Torrent. Which is like a rushing, raging waters. Out of his heart will flow a torrent of living water. A couple chapters before, Jesus meets a Samaritan woman. The very opposite of the kind of person that Jesus should be meeting. What does he say? He says, drink of me. Those who drink of me shall never go thirsty. Whew. And I'm just believing that God wants to speak something to us today. Why? You know, I didn't speak to Pastor John, but you know what? I'm here to tell you, Jesus, like he's saying right here, he never runs dry. He never runs dry. He never runs dry. He's our source. He's our life. He never runs dry. Amen? He says, I am the one to quench your soul. It's Jesus. And something that the Jewish leaders, they know the Old Testament, the Torah and the prophets. I'm going to read from Jeremiah 2:13. You don't have to turn there. Jeremiah 2:13, you can write it down if you want. Check this out. It's amazing what God says through Jeremiah to the Israelites. He says this. God says, for my people have committed two evils. God says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hold them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. So they know this language of living water. As they continue to do these water ceremonies, Jesus is like, come on, it's me. I'm the one you've been waiting for. I'm the one. Yeah. So even this week, the Feast of Tabernacles. By the way, there are some sects in Judaism, they still do the water libation, but the water libation was done in the temple. But right now, in AD 70, the temple was destroyed. So they don't do the ceremony anymore. But the heart of it, they still do. As they build these booths today, they still take time to remember. They still take some time to depend on God. They still take time to cry out for the Messiah. Okay? Just to make that clear. So even today, the Jews are still waiting for Jesus, waiting for the Messiah, right? They're still waiting for his first coming. But for us, we're waiting for his second coming, right? Later on, as we sang today in Matthew 21:9, it says, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David, as Jesus is riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, right? You know, on a side note, I want to share something that I learned. Pretty cool. Jesus rides on a donkey, right? But what I learned is, oh, that's so humble. That's so humble. Oh, Jesus would ride on a filthy, dumb donkey. Oh, that's so humble, right? But in that culture, this is what I learned from one of my rabbi friends. He said this. Actually, riding on a donkey was considered royalty, actually. Because in that time, if you ride on a horse into a city, you know what that means? That means the king was coming for war. But if you ride on a donkey into the city, that means the king was coming for peace. You see, I'm thankful that Jesus came as a lamb first and not as a lion first. I'm thankful that he came on a donkey and not a horse first. Because in his second coming, guess what he's coming back on? On a horse. It's different. It's different. So what does this mean for us? What's the wisdom to this knowledge, right? What does this mean for us? You know, for us, as we wait, I mentioned Sabbath. You know, we're not only called to Sabbath, like, and reflect and grow in thankfulness. It's actually from reflection and remembrance and rejoicing to response. Everybody say response. Right. You know, the problem is, what I want to share with us today, what I felt during the time of worship is, many of us were very tired. Many of us, we have not been taking Sabbath seriously. Many of us, like me, burnt out. Tired of this fast culture. There's just a lot of things going on in life. Circumstances not going your way. And many people are very discouraged. That's what I felt. And, you know, for us who are saved, yes, we did drink of him and we are saved. But you know what? We need to keep drinking. Everybody say, stay hydrated. We got to stay hydrated. Why? Because we leak. We leak. Like broken cisterns, like we read. We leak. We live in this flesh. And we need to keep on drinking. Be faithful to the Sabbath. Keep drinking. Last year, I ran a race, a marathon, right? The rat race. I don't know if you guys knew of it. It was like a marathon, right? But I chose the whopping 5K. I chose the whopping 5K. And there's another marathon coming up, the Oak Tree race. Sign up for that, by the way, right? So that was my first time ever running a race like that, actually. And I remember running, and what was awesome is there's certain pit stops where people hand you cups of water, right? And I'm like, oh gosh, yes, thank you, you know? And it like charges me up to keep running, right? But imagine this. Imagine if you're running and you see that station and it's motivating you and you're going to that station and you see cups of caramel frappuccino or Coke, you know? I don't know about you, but for me, yeah, I'll drink it. I'm like, I love this stuff, right? But I don't think it would benefit me in my running. And you know, in this race of life, as Paul mentions, this race of life. We need to stay hydrated, guys. But sometimes, you know, back in high school, I used to work out, believe it or not. I used to work out, and for some reason, after we had a crucial workout session and ran so much, very productive, I would go to the machine, vending machine. I don't know why, but I would buy a Coke. I would drink Coke, right? And I know it wasn't good for me, but, you know, I'm reminded of that because so many times when we're beat up and tired, so many times when we're discouraged, we drink of the wrong sources. We're drinking from the wrong fountain. When Jesus is saying, hey, I am the living water. I am the one who satisfies your soul. Jesus is the only one who fills that God-shaped hole in your heart. And I've been there. I've drank from the fountain of pornography. I've drank from the fountain of alcoholism. I've drank from the fountain of girls, right? I've drank from all these different fountains. But just like Coke, it just leaves me more thirsty. When Jesus is saying, come to me, come and drink, come and drink. It's Jesus, it's me. Jesus is saying, it's me. But sometimes we drink from the fountains of laziness. When we veg out and like we don't do Sabbath correctly. Sometimes we, you know, we drink from good things. But it's not Jesus. It's not Jesus. And we're tired. So, application point one is keep drinking. Stay hydrated. Amen? Tell your neighbor, stay hydrated. On the right stuff. All right, second point is this. Is not only should we continue to be satisfied by Jesus, but lead others to be satisfied as well. I want us to turn to Revelation chapter 22, the last book of the Bible. Last chapter of the last book of the Bible. Revelation 22. Verse 17. Can we read this together? In one, two, three. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Amen. And this is Jesus. In the last book, as our church is going through this end time series, you know, Jesus is saying, come. Come and drink. Lead others to this fountain. Why? Because there's a last call. This is kind of a bad analogy, but back in the day, before I was born again, I used to go drinking a lot in bars, right? Late at night. And then they say, last call. For those who are laughing, I know your past, right? I'm just kidding. But for real though, there is a time when there is going to be a last call. And the curtains will close. And there will be no opportunity. The opportunity is now to drink from the fountain of life. And in this Chuseok time, we think of family members. I have family members. We think of friends. You know what I want for those people? I don't want for them. Of course, I don't want them to go to, you know, suffer and go to hell and stuff. I don't want that. But you know what more I don't want? I don't want them to miss out on the true satisfaction of their souls. I long for them to taste. And we should have that heart as well. We should have that heart as well. Yeah, if praise team can come up, I want to take some time and pray. If we can pray together.